Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lipke on Prescott's right. Williams the deep back. Tight end in motion. Prescott back. Throws to the left side of the end zone. Pickens had his toes down. He caught the ball. It's a touchdown.
Some big plays from receivers throughout yesterday's win over the Giants. 40-37. By the way, does Vegas know or does Vegas know?
Man.
Why was it four? Well, this is why it was four.
Yeah, because we had talked about
five and a half.
Yeah, I told you last week that week one teams that lose by double digits cover 60-something% the following week, and road dogs cover 75% the following week, and both road dogs that were 0-1 off double digit losses from last week, Carolina and the Giants, covered.
And let's give them like half credit for knowing, because their over under, I believe, was the same as what Dallas actually scored. So
yeah,
not quite that bad, but it was like, yeah. I don't think they anticipated an 80-point barn burner.
No, their over under, I think, was what was total score to the fourth quarter.
Star up, star down is known as your Cowboy report card on Sean and RJ, brought to you by the greatness of Wild Fork Foods, your end zone for tailgating every single weekend. I'm going to go star up to wide receiver moments. You heard the one from Pickens right there. After Pickens and Lamb did not get targeted in the entire first quarter, then things got going. I labeled this in my notes the CeeDee Lamb drive. 16, 24, 7. There was a third and long in there. There was a roughing the passer in there. That led to the Miles Sanders touchdown. And then maybe one of the top three plays of the game is Jalen Tolbert on fourth down with that reception that kept things alive.
Boy, he is, that's too...
He was getting killed yesterday on social media, too. Like, why is Tolbert out there? Why is he returning kicks? There's no juice. There's no explosion.
This is 2 years in a row that he's had a massive fourth down conversion, because he had that one in Pittsburgh in the end zone. And
game winner, right?
Yeah, it was right there on the goal line where he just barely got in. But that's, I knew as soon as watching Dak throw the ball there, I was just like, God, is this the guy you want to throw it to right now in this moment? And a lot of people, if that would have been incomplete, it would have been, why would you even throw it to Tolbert in that situation? But, I mean, credit to Tolbert for getting his arms under it and then, being able to finish that catch. It was a big moment for him. I did not like what you referenced there, the fact that you go the whole first quarter with no Lamb or Pickens targets. I don't know. They clearly didn't trust their offensive line yesterday. They didn't think their offensive line could block the Giants' front, because they went out there yesterday and went, let's get swing passes to Javonte Williams. Let's try and do these play-action boot calls and just toss it to Jake Ferguson. And the Giants were all about, cool, keep doing that. We'll sniff that out all day long. Abdul Carter, it's like, no, I'm not Micah Parsons. You're not going to do the play-action boot and think I'm going to just chase the running back. I'm going to keep contained. I'm going to keep my edge, and I'm just going to go charging after Dak. And they could not get any of that boot action going.
Three sacks. Seven quarterback hits. I felt like Dak's interception and a couple throws were on back foot where he was feeling that pressure up the middle. I think BB, before he got hurt, was beat on that. I think it was Abdul Carter who beat BB, but this offensive line, not feeling fantastic after Tyler Smith got paid.
No, look, and it felt like it was more than three sacks.
Yes.
And that's because of the quarterback hits. And some of those hits, star up. Never interrupt your opponent when he's making a mistake, and that's what they did on this. This game, because Dak was just under siege, but he was also just getting pummeled with late hits, right? And that is one of the, to me, the star ups of this game is that they let the Giants be absolute morons in this football game.
Second and 11. Prescott back. Here's pressure up the middle. He's in trouble. Deep throw. Lamb on the left sideline at the 39 of New York. I don't know how Prescott got rid of that.
I mean, the amount of penalty, 100 and some penalty yards, 150 penalty yards by the Giants.
Yeah, I don't know how much credit I'm giving.
Oh, I'm giving them.
Cowboys
I'm
for
giving
the
them credit
Giants out. Being
let
stupid.
Let them be stupid. There was one time where the Cowboys clapped back, and that was a big-time star down to Lamb. Do not get caught up with a lesser opponent. Do not go back and jaw with a lesser player. You're CD Lamb. There are like two.
You mean when he's sitting on his butt on the sideline doing all the pointing?
Yeah, and he gets the taunting call, which I don't care for that call. But look, it is the call.
Everyone now that converts, like Pickens at the end, when they're doing their first down, I'm like, no. Don't get the flag. Don't draw a field. Don't go 15 yards backwards.
You're CD Lamb. There are like two corners that you could jaw at the NFL. Nobody else is on your level. Nobody else. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. We don't pick fights with Reitma. You know? Sorry, Jim. We just get on our level. If you're not on the level, don't jaw at him.
I want to know. I don't know. Maybe it's something we ask Jerry tomorrow. I want to be like, why is it a rule in the NFL that, or maybe KNC can throw this at Steven today. Why is it a rule in the NFL that you can have three penalties on one team and then CD at the end taunt is like, all right, offsets, let's just roll this. Why?
Yeah.
That seems like nonsense
to me.
One for one.
Yeah, it's like if I broke three laws this morning and Bobby broke one and we both, they offset. Three traffic violations.
He gets the same penalty.
It's just a stupid ruling. Yeah. It's so dumb. But yeah, star up to the giant penalties as this offensive lineman, this left tackle, gets benched off the first drive for four flags thrown, and he was not accepting it on the sideline. He's like, why am I being taken out?
Dude, they tried to, apparently, like, Olsen's like, they're trying to take him out, and somebody overruled Daboll. And I'm like, what? I'm sorry, what? Somebody overrules the head coach? How does that work?
He had,
I think it was 105 yards that he cost them. They cost themselves on the first drive.
So they started from the 20. They picked up 110 yards of offense from the 20 on the first drive. Because they had so much yardage to take away. Hudson, it was the span of seven plays. He gave up a sack and had four penalties that cost them 45 yards total. But it was ridiculous.
Yeah. But look, don't let the Cowboys off the hook with penalties, okay? If I told you the Cowboys only had two fewer penalties in this game, you wouldn't believe me. It seemed like the Giants had like eight more.
I don't believe you.
How many roughing the passer, you know, quarterback flags? New York had 14 for 160. The Cowboys had 12 for 106. Are you serious? You almost had 300 yards of penalties being thrown in this one.
I don't even believe that stat. I don't believe that we had 12 penalties. That doesn't make any sense that we had this basically the same amount.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Just a case, really, you got to call a spade a spade. Two bad football teams where a lot of people were just rooting for a tie outside of DFW. Just have a tie because neither of these teams deserve to win.
Well, we didn't have the same amount of penalties. It didn't just feel that way. It was not even close to the same amount of penalties because Dallas had 12, which, that's a lot. Giants had 14, so that's pretty close.
It declined.
Dallas had one declined and one offsetting. The Giants had seven other penalties that were declined or offsetting. They had 21 penalties called on them in this game.
the memes of, like, how's the Cowboys-Giants game going? It's just a ref with, like, 30 flags behind them.
877-881-1053, the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line 4, star up, star down.
Yeah, big star up to the guy I was probably throwing dirt on over the summer. The guy I looked at and said, nah, there's no juice in that running back room with Javonte Williams.
Motion now from Tolbert, inside handoff, Javonte Williams, and he breaks free, and Williams has a head of steam, and Williams to the end zone, and Javonte Williams running hard, took it home, 30 yards for Javonte Williams.
Look, he could have been Cam Scataboo out there the rest of the day and picking up like 1 yard per carry.
Scataboo looked good.
And it wouldn't have mattered because that 30-yard touchdown alone would have gotten him a star up as A. It obviously gave you a little bit of momentum after a lot of struggles.
17-13.
This was something where Javonte Williams, that 30-yard touchdown run, that was the first 30-yard run in 4 years. The last one he got was against the Dallas Cowboys as a rookie at AT&T Stadium.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me for the Cowboys, and I would have believed that too with Zeke. The yeah, first 30-yard run for the team yeah. in 4 years.
That was
for Javonte.
I don't think the Cowboys got they may not have gotten a 30-yard run last year. Because Dowdle wasn't able to get one.
He's a damn battering ram. That's what he is. He then had a first down run that was a battering ram on the next drive until Brian Burns kind of put him in his place a little bit and buried him into the ground.
Yeah, you'll find your match every now and then. And he got the and yeah, no 30-yard runs last year for the Cowboys.
No 30-yard runs.
So that's their first one in 2 years.
Pepe, what are the Tolos saying for star up, star down?
The 419 says star up to Dak, to Williams, Lamb, and Aubrey. Star down for the 419 says Wilson, Adam. And, I don't know what that says.
What?
His message got really messed up there. 214, star
Willie
up to the
Adamas,
DBs.
Is that what you're saying?
I think so. 214 also says star up to the Giants penalties, star down to the defense and the offense for three quarters as well.
One more thing on Dak. That drive to make it 34. I know all these drives at the end are going to run together.
Yes.
To make it 34-30, the touchdown drive late. He hit four different receivers on that drive. Tried to hit five different ones. He had an incomplete to Ferguson. I mean, that spread the ball around late. That was a tremendous big-time game, well, would have been game-winning drive at the moment, but big-time drive by Dak.
I'm giving Dak a star up. RJ Ochoa may disagree. I saw Marcus Mosier being the one saying, like, this game is on Dak. It was like a negative take. Every time the Cowboys were in a must-have situation, I felt personally confident that Dak was going to get it done, and he did. So I'm giving him a star up. 38-52 for 361. 7 yards a pass, two touchdowns, got sacked three times.
His arm's going to feel like DeGrom after a start. 52 passes.
He was good yesterday. He gets a star up for sure. I don't think he was as locked in as he was against Philly. Like I still think Philly was a better game, but yeah, he was good yesterday and just was having to weather so much. That first play we had up there where Sham was like, I have no idea how he got the ball out. He got destroyed on that throw where it was like Lawrence and I think it was Burns came in, and those two, they hit it, one hit him and like basically threw him into the other who hit him. He was taking a beating yesterday. The offensive line did not do him any favors.
And Dak was asked if yesterday with that 0-2 stat, would you say Choppy last week was 6%? You got a 6%
chance
of
6.25
getting in if you fall to 0-2. Was yesterday a must win?
Todd asked me how 0-2 would feel. I would say it was a must win. Every part of my mind, and I think that's why, you know, just throughout the game and every situation that happened, I never lost faith. Like, I never lost confidence in this group and what we're going to be able to do, and we're going to be able to respond. Getting the ball back, with 30 seconds or so, and you know you've got a kicker that, you know, you're only down by three, like, my confidence is through the roof. Like, the only thing is after, right, the incomplete, they ran all that clock off. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, other than that, you know, that was a little bit scary. But other than that, like, I believe in these guys, and not for one moment that I think that we're not going to win. So it was a must win, and we answered the bell 1-1. It's a complete different feeling than 0-2. It's a confidence booster, especially in a late game like this in overtime in an NFL game versus division opponent. Credit to every man in the locker room.
Dude, if they had fallen to 0-2, you're looking at, I mean, it's still too early to start questioning things and, you know, putting heat on any player or coach. But Shoddy's job would have gotten much more difficult at 0-2 with trying to keep the locker room.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
NC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053, Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. You've got me, Kevin Hagelin. You've got, oh man, Corey Majors. You might have some really intense thoughts about the Today Show. And also the famous Alec Medford from the 214. I know it's early, but wanker of the weekend has to be Ken Rosenthal. I think Ken Rosenthal will absolutely be in discussion for wanker of the weekend because he does not know how to interact with human beings.
I have thoughts regarding Ken Rosenthal. They are not all positive, but I think the dude does an amazing job getting the news from the GMs and agents and delivering it to the people.
Now, helping somebody off the ground that he knocked over.
He just stared that dude down like, what are you even doing in my presence right now? Do you not see the halo bubble around me?
He's as effective at lifting up other people that he's definitely at fault for knocking down as the Cowboys secondary is in zone.
Like, there
are so many things. I hope that Trayvon Diggs has a meeting with Eberflus today and he's like, hey, this system of defense does not work for me.
I got some D's nuts thoughts for you here. Let's have a conversation. So, and you're right. And I do, I love as these things go on throughout the week, we're going to hear more of that conversation. Brought us really great at breaking this down in the post game show too. But the question that my friends and I were discussing is how much of this does fall on these are man corners and zone defense and they just don't work well together.
Yeah. And look, and I understand one of the counter arguments to that is surely going to be the first time it really felt like Malik Nabers was able to torch Trayvon Diggs was on a man-to-man route down the left side. Like I will concede that, but
the majority of the times where they broke free anybody on that field, Wandale Robinson, Malik Nabers, it was because of a coverage situation. There looked like because of a miscommunication between safeties and corners where corners thought that they had help.
Okay. I'm glad that you said that because this feels like a situation where you have to crash the classroom pretty hard because it was, and you know what? If you want to talk about Trayvon Diggs' catch-up speed, like I think that is a totally valid conversation to have as well. But there were multiple plays where the cornerbacks or the safeties who were supposed to break off and go with a person did not seem to realize that that was their responsibility until the receiver was five yards gone. And guess what? That receiver's already running. I don't care how fast you are. If you're picking up off of your coverage and like, oh crap, that's supposed to be my guy. Yeah. It's going to be doom, especially since Russell Wilson. And look, I still don't think the Giants offense is going to trend out to be very good this season, which makes yesterday all the more troubling, but he was dropping some really excellent long range passes and just made you pay time and time again.
Which that was the fear going into the game. The only fear I think anybody had was what if he connects on these? What if he lets these loose? I heard it from Sean in the morning. I heard it from our show. Broadus multiple times on the pregame show. That was one of Broadus's big concerns. He was like, look, with Deron Bland out, I'm very interested to see how they deploy Wandale Robinson. And when he brought that name up, I was like, oh, no, yeah, I keep forgetting. There's more than just Malik Nabers out there doing these things. And Broadus was right again on that. So, like, that was the only thing I heard from most people was, what if this happens? And then it seemed like nobody on the Cowboys sideline ever thought, what if this happens?
Right.
Because they didn't look like they were prepared for it at all. But that was, again, the Giants were just bad enough for the Cowboys to be 1-1 this week rather than 0-2, which would have ultimately ended their season, as Kevin said last
week. Yeah, look, and I still stand firm to that, but that
I feel
also
like you were getting ready to send the text, guys, season's over.
That also is probably a reflection of like what individuals think about the Giants. And by the way, I loved Dak's answer to that. He's like, oh yes, I don't know, I don't want to know the difference between like 1-1 and 0-2. So here's my next question for everybody then, and I understand if like you're a diehard Cowboys fan and you wanted them to go like 2-15 or 3-14 to get the number one pick in the draft or whatever, like I understand that. Let's put that aside for the moment. Last week I feel like we all walked away and being like, oh, yeah, they played better against Philadelphia than I thought they would. And by the way,
1,000%. How much of that, my question to you still is, how much of that was catching them by surprise because they had no clue what to expect from you?
I mean, maybe. I look back at that game and I did not watch the Cowboys-Philly game and be like, man, we just revolutionized and changed the game.
No.
Like, I thought what we ran out there was, you know, we ran more motion. But I didn't think...
Oh, 42% yeah, more motion.
But I didn't think we were running these like crisscross motion pre-snap patterns that you're like, I don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
And so, and Philly just beat Kansas City, which is going to lead to another conversation about what's up with Kansas City, how washed is Travis Kelce. Like, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah. We'll get to that today.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have plenty of time today. We have like 4 hours.
We got 4 hours, man. 3 hours and 53 minutes. So... my question then is, if there's no such thing as a moral victory, because no matter how well you thought aspects of the team played against Philly, you lost. Is there a moral loss? Because it does feel like more negative this morning when you won.
Well, I think the negative part of it is, hey, let's be real about what we saw. And if you're being real, doesn't that, oh, you're being realistic. That's negative. Let's just be real about what we actually saw, because I don't want to act like everything's flowers and butterflies. No. What was it that Jerry gave us, rainbow soup or something, like, you know,
yes,
like he said on Friday, because he was in a great mood with us on Friday. The
do you think of rainbow soup as just leftover milk if you ate Trix?
Oh man, maybe so. Maybe Fruity Pebbles or
Fruit Loops. Yeah.
Or whatever the off brands of those are called.
Sure.
Fruit O's. I don't know what the. I haven't. It's been a while. All right. Okay. Since I've grabbed the bag off the bottom shelf. All right.
All right.
I'll be honest about that. Sorry, Alec. I think there are definite positives to take away. I think every coach is going to walk away telling his guys, y'all fought till the end. Y'all never gave up. You never quit on this game. That's why we want, like, that's what that his moral victory or moral loss conversation is going to be. The reason we are 40-37 is because y'all never quit in this room.
Yeah.
Y'all could have just thrown in the towel. And I'll give them credit for that. I absolutely will give them the credit for, hey man, they fought through it all. Their best player was the one that delivered for them in the end, ultimately, two different times to put them in the situation for it. So I think that, again, just like last week, by the way, the word again, listen to Shotty. Just listen to Shotty when he talks and how often he says again.
By the way, did you hear him in the post? And maybe we have this conversation in longer form another day, where he seemed annoyed that people are annoyed when he talks about culture. You know, like the fan base generally, it feels like they like Brian Schottenheimer.
Yes.
But some get annoyed because they're like, culture, go win a game. And he goes, sorry, I know people don't like me talking about this, but our culture. And so it's been two games and he already referenced that he thinks people are annoyed by.
I like that he has a finger on the pulse,
yeah,
then.
That's fair.
Rather than just ignoring it and acting like nothing exists. Like, right? Like, that's the culture thing was the only thing we could talk about during the offseason. It was the only thing that we were given privy to, honestly.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see any of the actual, what's this thing going to look like, except for a few, short spurts in practice. But the culture part of it definitely matters, because when you're fighting for these moments, You were better than we thought against Philadelphia, but what do we come in here, man? We got a lot of things we can do that are better. You won against the Giants, but what does Schottenheimer and Eberflus have? Man, we got a lot of things we can do better. So they're not a perfect team right now. Do I think they'll be a perfect team at the end of the season? No. I don't think anybody's going to be a perfect team, but I think that they are, if they continue on this trend, this trajectory, they should grow into a better team than they are, because there's so much fraying they still have to tighten up.
Look, I don't want to get yelled at by Brian Kelly, and so I am going to be happy that the Cowboys won, because I truly believe if you fell to 0-2 against a Giants team that I still think is going to be last in this division, that would be a really, really terrible start to the season. But to your point, that's not to say that you cannot analyze all of the flaws. Look, go back to the end of the first half. And I know this is going to get lost in the way the game played out, but just abysmal
No.
Decision making by Dak Prescott by we're not getting the snap off in time before the play clock collapses, and then being like, well, that's not fair. It was zero sometimes. And I'm like, snap the ball.
And Kevin, you had an opportunity for a 14 point swing on either side of the half, and you failed on both sides of it. Immediately throw an interception on the other side of it. I don't know what they were trying to accomplish with the minute and 58 seconds left going into the halftime. I have zero clue.
Yeah.
Because they all, what did we keep hearing from Greg Olsen, who looks like Dexter? Yes, we get it. What did we keep hearing from him? All they have to do is get to midfield and Brandon Aubrey can kick a field goal. A potential 14-point swing, a potential 6-point swing. That's perfectly fine. Either way, you came away with zero on each of those series. And that's something that you have to go back into the locker room. You have to go back into the film sessions and go, guys, this is miserable. This was a ridiculous set of circumstances we had going into halftime altogether. If I'm going to talk about the negative,
you've been listening to Schottenheimer.
I want to point out some positives too.
Javonte Williams.
Well, I will get to him at some point because he helped my fantasy team. But Turpin, I loved how they used him in the third quarter, and they were like, "Look, we're gonna move real quickly and get you the ball real fast and do some things." And I was like, "Okay, cool." And then they went to CeeDee Lamb. And they started moving it around. Look, we're going to expose some pieces of this defense with guys that we know are good. And I think that they have more of that in hand. I just got to figure out exactly how Turpin's going to fall into this in the future. Hopefully, we got fingers crossed here.
Well, and he did say that his x-rays came out good. And I thought this was a positive sign that his teammates were making fun of him for having the neck brace on. Now, that leads me to believe he's going to be okay, because otherwise your locker room is filled with monsters. Like if something was really wrong with his neck and he's like, "Hey, good job, buddy." Like that is a terrible locker room. So I do not believe that is the case whatsoever.
You're going to go into court with that brace on?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you embarrassed?
Yeah, you're going to win your people's court settlement. And so that's probably too dated of a reference. Yeah, I think the fact that they were kind of giving him the business, I think that leads me to believe that he's going to be okay. That, and if you want to focus more on the science aspect of it, he said his x-rays came out good. So
I like science part.
I think that is hopefully a positive step.
You brought up Javonte Williams, and we haven't even gotten to CeeDee Lamb and Pickens or Ferguson, but Javonte Williams, tough running, had the 30-yarder. He had the touchdown that you thought he was done. Like you watch that and you're like, oh, he's tackled. And then all of a sudden he breaks loose from it. He was effective with that and catching the ball out of the backfield. Kevin, he's a good weapon for this offense.
And he continues. You mentioned one of the runs that I thought was most impressive. I felt like we saw this two or three times in the first game. You saw it two or three times again yesterday. Javonte Williams has done a really good job of getting 2, 4, 5 yards, whatever, after it really did look like maybe you had lost the line of scrimmage on that play and the play was done, and he's done a really good job. Whether it was pushing the pile or just single-handedly moving like two more defenders, I think he's done a terribly impressive job with that.
I don't like the way you said that, honestly. I feel like that's an oxymoron.
Oh, okay. I think
Which one is it? He's done terribly or he's impressive?
Positively impressive job?
It's too much. Positive.
I think he's been impressive.
There it is.
All right.
Nailed it. See, for all the people that were mad that you said terrible, and for all the people, I don't know, it was just me, and all the people that were upset that you were going too far in the positive side, you nailed it right there in the middle.
From the 940, Dak should have thrown 3 to 4 interceptions. He looked awful. Now, I will admit, if you think that's the case, at least one or two of those were off of either deflections or catchable balls that I think, and still, that is the most terrifying play in all of football. When you're on offense and the pass gets deflected or it goes off someone's hand and just kind of hangs in the air, even if nobody's there, you just feel like they're going to fly down the field. And so, let's take Dak Prescott and Donovan Wilson.
He made some throws, Kevin, that were like insane. Insane that he threw in a double coverage and completed it.
Yes.
But other ones that I'm just like, man, that Dak really put that one on the number.
And that is the dynamic that we saw in game one, right? You're like, first half, offensively great, defensively, ugh. Yeah. And then you kind of flipped it in the second half. Well, take Dak Prescott and Donovan Wilson, for example. I mean, I think you could look at Donovan Wilson and be like, not your finest hour whatsoever.
And he had an interception.
Yeah, but then he also had the interception on the still perplexing throw from Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson threw that ball as if there were 4 seconds left in overtime. Mm-hmm. And he's like, might as well do something. And so Donovan Wilson still did get the interception. Did not think he had a good game whatsoever, but he got that interception that set you up for the win. Dak Prescott, at times, very curious the way he was running, especially the clock. We talked about the end of the second half. And then you go to the fourth quarter in overtime. 15 of 20 for 187 yards. One touchdown, no interceptions. And so you're like, and it is going to be tough to walk away from a game where you score that many points and be like, yeah, I think the offense really screwed us. You know, like even if they would have lost,
yeah.
I'm not going to go, hey, Dak, good job not covering another bomb from Russell Wilson to score a touchdown like that. That's not going to fall on him. But for most of the day, I thought he played better in week one, despite the fact that there was a giant like statistical difference.
And
you know,
we'll get to it later in this week. But the questions moving forward will be, how will Clowney help the pass rush? How can they correct and fix this secondary problem? Is Bland the secret to that? Can the offense be more efficient, look less clunky? Because they look clunky to me. You know, despite being productive, they looked clunky at times. And then how can you just get cleaner games? Because at one point, Kevin, I thought, man, Cowboys look far superior in the discipline world compared to this team. And then all of a sudden, it just fell apart at some point. So there are still lots of questions to answer about this team.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, kids, your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Love it. Boy, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Eric and Bobby. Appreciate that. Man, God, it sounded so long ago. Senior night, LSU. Whew. All right.
The beer was flowing like wine.
Yeah. After the game, it was. After the game. No, not during the game.
Never during?
Not during the game, no. Not during the
never.
Game.
Never. That's an upset.
Never. Never during the game.
Never.
Got a question for you guys just to start this thing out, by the way.
What's up?
What's a more successful play in NFL today? Brandon Aubrey kicking field goals or the tush push?
Well, Aubrey
one's
is
legal,
not
one's
cheating.
Not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're seeing quickly here the tush push is becoming a total noxious. Mockery of the sport. Yeah. I can't believe all the owners that voted to keep it, you know, after watching this weekend. How many pushes did they have? 12? That push? 12 pushes?
Especially the Chiefs.
I think they ran it 7 times, and it was just obvious basically on every single one of them.
Offsides?
They're offsides, and the interior linemen are moving before the ball snapped.
Yeah.
So it's a joke.
So there's a false start and an offsides. And the Chiefs were one of the teams that voted for it to stay. So shame on them.
I like what Seattle's doing. Seattle's putting their tight end, like their third tight end in there. He's their push guy. So he's the quarterback on that play.
There you go.
I think we need to talk about that here for the Cowboys. I don't know if they got any tight ends that are physical enough, but maybe that's a good job
maybe
for
Skinny. Maybe Spanford, that's a big boy.
Spanford.
Hey, we should ask Ferguson on Thursday. Hey, you want to? Would you be interested in some tush push action?
Tush push. It's funny that, like I say, they look off sides every play.
Every play. The center is a half a yard
be on the ball, it seems.
Yeah. And the officials have no clue how to call that.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, they have no clue.
And then
they'll call it nine other times, but they won't call it on this one particular play of being like in the neutral zone.
We talked about LP, Lattis Leducer.
Yeah.
And Washington that one time called out, okay, he does something with the ball where he moves it right before the snap. And so they ended up, the officials caught it and said, okay, they threw a flag and ended up costing the Cowboys the game. Like, can coaches not go pregame and be like, hey, can you watch the way they're lining up here?
Yeah.
They're offsides. And the officials then go ahead and boom, here's a flag. Because nobody's calling it. And it is bizarre. I don't understand it.
Just amazing how accurate that kicker is, though.
He's the man.
They're going to run a play. They're going to run a 3-yard play, basically, so just to get him in field goal range.
But if you're asking which play would I rather have in my toolkit as a coach, I'd have to say the tush push right now.
Because the way you score touchdowns with it?
At third and two, it's automatic. We're going to do this thing twice and have a first down. Fourth and one, we're taking them all. Fourth and two, we're taking a lot of those. Yeah, it's going to keep so many drives alive. They're playing a different game with that thing. They really are.
Yeah. I think that, to me, if you gave me a choice between the two, I think I would take the tush push, too. It just seems like, to me, it's...
Yeah, if you're allowed to cheat, then why not?
Well, the owners, again, voted for it. Had a chance to knock that thing out. They didn't knock it out.
No, for sure. But then when you're a referee and you see what's taking place on the field, it's your job to throw the flag.
Yeah. Zach, if you want to help me on some of this stuff, chime in about some of this, what you guys saw. Everybody chime in with what they saw.
Chime in.
Offensive line, we'll start with them. Where should we start? Offense or defense on this team? Where would you like me to start?
I guess start with the bad and finish with the good.
Kind of feel like I've talked a lot about the bad with the corners and stuff like that. And I don't think it's the corner's fault. I do think the lack of pass rush is pretty evident, though, here.
It is.
Yeah.
And I mean,
and I don't think it all has to do with Micah Parsons. If you have Micah Parsons, you could probably get away with rushing four.
I'll tell you what I thought. Yes. Solomon Thomas is a good. Ose is a good. Kenny Clark's a good. Was Kenneth Murray Jr. as good as he looked on TV? It'd be a question I'd have for you about this defense.
Yes.
Definitely a better game.
Yes.
A much better game with Murray. I'll tell you the problem that they had in him and Jack Sanborn. You talk about coverage and the cover two coverage. You remember with Monty Kiffin and Lane and Monty Kiffin and also
Marinelli?
Rod Marinelli. Remember how the Buccaneers used to play that what they call that Tampa 2 where they run the Mike linebacker deep and try and take
Derek Brooks.
That's Derek Brooks is in the Hall of Fame for being able to like cover the middle of the field that way. Turn and go.
Get back to a safety shot.
Lee could do it for Rod. Yeah. He was capable, but Sanborn doesn't have that ability.
They tried to run this thing twice. Both times with big plays involved.
Sanborn being the guy dropping?
Sanborn dropping one time and Murray being the other guy. And Murray got caught up with tight end Johnson and couldn't, you know, he got locked up on him and couldn't get deep. And now the ball's, you know, now the ball's down the middle of the field. That's a problem.
It is.
You know, it just goes back to asking your guys to do things you can't absolutely do. I think it's a bit real struggle right now for Donovan Ezeraku.
And Flew should know that about Sanborn from last year. He's been with him for three seasons.
You know what? If you feel like that those guys, I guess you have to see it and see it not work, but he ran it twice, and both times it got chunk plays.
If you wanted a box score, you could say yes, but they've stopped the run in this so effectively in this game. Could they get better at what you're talking about and have as good a chance of stopping the run as they've had?
I think I said this earlier. Maybe before the season started, maybe it was on Love of the Star. I wouldn't run the ball against Dallas, if not the way they currently are configured, not with the way that if you have a lack of pass. The thing that worried me were the corners in this thing. That my biggest concern was everybody's like saying, "Oh, the run defense." I'm like, you seen how they're playing this? You seen the pass defense a little bit?
Yeah, and Kenny Clark's been fantastic. I mean, he led the team in pressures yesterday. Solomon Thomas was really good.
The pass defense against the Eagles was just because of Jalen Hurts. It was more on Jalen Hurts not pulling the trigger. That Russell Wilson was willing to throw the ball into whatever coverage you were in. See, to me, I was more worried that they were going to not fix the pass defense, and then you get Diggs back and stuff. And that wasn't all Diggs' fault, by the way.
And it I did hear post game, like some players were talking, and there was a lot of communication errors on the back end.
Yeah.
And it's learning, you know, the new defense. I mean, this one a little more complicated than what Zim was running, according to some players. And you're mixing and matching new personnel. So everyone was not on the same page.
How complicated is to play cover two?
The cover two is not complicated, but I guess some of these guys.
I mean, I'm not just trying to slam you on this thing.
No, I'm not saying it's complicated, but from a player's perspective in that room,
it doesn't.
They might feel that way.
But okay, then this is the thing that bothers me then the most is why Dan Quinn came in here with Dan Quinn, what, a cover three guy,
mm-hmm.
single high stuff. Dan Quinn, you know. Dan Quinn then figured out, it's like, wow, I've got a pass rush. I've got guys that can play man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to play cover. I just lock up and let's go. You know, Mike Zimmer. Well, you know, I've got some guys that can, you know. Coaches adjust. They adjust to what they're doing. And I think this is the thing that bothers me the absolute most is not knowing your personnel. Not knowing, how could you not know? And just, I don't know how you don't study games and watch and see Donovan Wilson is not that type of guy. And I know I'm beating a dead horse about this, but this is the thing that bothers me about coaches at times. You know, we set up our team. We put our team together. We have an idea of like, oh, this guy, we need this guy. We need this guy. We need this guy. And then all of a sudden you do stuff with those guys that they can't do.
Yeah, you got to play to your strengths, especially from a team that says they want to be multiple and versatile. They're not showing that.
They're not showing that at all. I'll say this, though. You talked about the defensive lineman, though. I think Donovan Ezeraku, I think the worst thing that could have happened to him was that Micah Parsons left here.
Mm-hmm.
Because now all of a sudden, Fowler, Ezeraku, Sam Williams, all those guys have to step up. And the thing that bothers me about Donovan Ezeraku, I think now he's playing too tall.
Yeah, and he's on the ground way too much.
And his balance is a problem.
It is. He also got some pressure in the fourth quarter, again, like last week.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Sam Williams made his play in overtime, but Sam Williams was bad. Fowler was not good. This is two straight games. Fowler wasn't good.
Right.
So James Houston's their best pass rusher right now, and he had 12 snaps. And I was asking you pre-show, like, what is it about James Houston? Are they trying to preserve him because he played spring football? Maybe they're worried about him wearing down at the end of the year, but he's a guy that needs to be on the field. He's their best pass rusher. He has been through 2 weeks.
I kind of felt like that this was the week that we were going to see something from Marshawn Nealon, and he was okay.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. See, that bothers me too. Here we are, talked about the Giants offensive line and the tackles and how they have problems at certain spots.
Exactly.
And you don't take advantage of that. You know, you don't.
Frustrating.
You don't win one-on-one matchups against those guys. Now, give them credit, though. Dallas was able to get some stops in the overtime period. But that was really kind of it. Everything else, I mean, you should not give up the amount of chunk plays that they gave up in that football game.
Here's what I'm kind of worried about is you got guys that your team drafted and you want to put out there, but really you should get more Houston. You should get more Solomon Thomas. Like, yeah. I think he only had 30 snaps. I'd play him a lot more. I'd play Houston a lot more. And I'm wondering if, hey, we drafted these guys and we got to develop them.
Sure.
There's a big gap between what's capable of veterans on the team and guys you drafted.
Last thing I want to kind of talk about then, I'm finally glad they got George Pickens involved.
Yes. Yeah, that was amazing.
See, George Pickens, this is what you could do with George Pickens. You could run him down the field. He's going to draw pass interference calls. You know, run him on slants. He's going to make big catches. You know, he's running slants with guys on inside leverage on him and still getting inside and making the catch. Give Dak some credit for throwing him the ball, too, by the way. But that pass, it's one of the best passes I've ever seen Dak throw. There's that out on right at the pylon. The window on that pass was as small as you can imagine, and he fit that thing right in. And George Pickens, strong hands, body to kind of keep the defender out of the way, and then to be able to stay in the end zone.
The crosser late was nasty as well, down on the right.
He is, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You just,
yeah, he's dropping it.
Play him on the move. Let him get involved in these games. He is a nightmare for defensive backs to deal with. Maybe even more of a nightmare than what CeeDee Lamb does. George Pickens is a hell of a football player. I'm glad to see they got him involved in this one. He was the reason why you were partially why you won this football game.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every day at 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.